You're listening to Nick's Knacks and KFKA, hosted by Nick Kenny. Nick is the executive director of the Greeley Philharmonic Orchestra and the 2020 Greeley Area Chamber Ambassador of the Year. Nick's Knacks also touches on local and global issues through Nick's perspective, offering unique insights into the world's happenings. Prepare to learn something new in this thought-provoking and entertaining show.
Together. You're listening to Nick Snacks here on 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's Voice. I am your host, Nick Ketty, and boy, does this song take me back to D2, the Mighty Ducks, when they're training to go to the Junior Olympics, the hockey team. That was a great Disney movie, which, if memory serves, the first one came out, was funded by Disney, and it was a promotion for the Anaheim Ducks. It was the brand new NHL team going to Los Angeles, and that was their way to prepare the world for that new hockey team. And I think D2 is the better movie. But boy, that just takes me back to my childhood. Thank you, Micah, for that excellent song selection to bring us in. We've got an action-packed show today. I have special guest Kelly Jackson, the executive director of the Ames Community College Foundation. We'll talk to her about end-of-year giving and Colorado Gives Day recap. And also Scott Magerflesh, tongue-twisted this morning, will join us for another recap of the most recent Mandalorian episode. And my jaw just continues to drop with that show. But first, Kelly, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
I think good everything. Good day. Good morrow.
Good everything. Good day.
good morrow. Something I do that's kind of silly when I'm on hikes, Kelly, just so you get to know me a little more. Before we continue the interview is when I'm heading down the mountain or the trail where you're not going to see those people again. I mean, if you're walking, you know, in front of them or behind them, they're going to follow you up until your hike's done. But on my way down, I like to use different accents to people and just, you know, think that they met somebody interesting. I'm terrible at accents, you know, Australian or German or Russian. But my favorite one to do is Old English, where I'll just, "Good morrow, lords and ladies. Enjoy your hike today." And that always gets me a couple of strange looks on the mountain.
I thought maybe that was parting the seas and you were making your way down the trail then.
It's true. Well, if I'm volunteering, I kind of have to move quickly and swiftly. So that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's one of Nick's shenanigans when he's on the hikes, you know, and I can't wait to get back up to the mountains and hike and maybe do some snowshoeing this year. I haven't ever snowshoed, but it seems like a good year to be outdoors a little more, especially in the age of COVID and the winter that we're heading into, although it doesn't feel like it. It's been in the 60s the last couple days, but it is what it is. So, Kelly, back to you. Let's start with what you do over at Ames with the foundation.
I'm the executive director, and my main goal is to support student success, and we do that through scholarship development, through our generosity from our communities that we serve.
And Ames, how long has Ames been in Greeley?
Over 50 years.
50 years.
We've been around since the beginning of time. Most of those who are older in our community would remember the first campus was downtown.
Really? Is that building still there?
Yes. The building's still there, but we're not. We now have four different locations. We've expanded to meet the need within our communities, and we've got a campus in Greeley, which is our largest. Then you'll see a small campus over in Loveland, South County, Fort Lupton, and Windsor as well.
And there's a lot of things happening at Ames. The last few years have just put Ames on the map, both regionally and nationally. And one of the biggest is the Ames to UNC. And if memory serves, it was one of the first community college and four-year university that came up with this plan. Am I right with that?
Yes. Ames to UNC is a transition program. So students who enroll in this program actually are students of both Ames and UNC simultaneously. So when it comes time for the students to take classes from UNC that maybe are not available at Ames or vice versa, they can automatically do that. We also have some students who have actually taken advantage of the housing opportunity at UNC, and they were living in the dorms prior to COVID as an Ames student. So there's some unique opportunities in that program.
I can't imagine the amount of time that had to go into collaborations between both the presidents of the universities and probably armies of folks. But I think that's just an incredible program. It's still pretty new, but do you have any tracked success for that program yet?
I believe they are on track to very close to their goals, and I at the moment don't have the number in my head, but I want to say it was almost 100 students the first year that participated in that program. This program is so well liked by the students and our communities that the state community college system looked at it and has adopted this type of program as well.
Yeah, I imagine you're going to be an incredible resource for colleges and universities across the country to have this model.
Absolutely. And Dr. Bornstein, the college president at Ames, is the one that spearheaded that, and she is the brains behind that and has been working nonstop to spread the word and share out how that was created.
Oh, it's so exciting. And Ames is on the map, too, for some incredible programs. I was fortunate enough in a leadership class last year to spend a day at Ames and learn about their aviation program, which is top-notch.
It is. We're flying high. We keep all of our aircraft out at the NOCO Regional Airport. We own 15 of our own aircraft. So when our students are learning their training in the plane, they actually are flying Ames aircraft.
That's so neat. I have yet to see one fly over. I don't know if you can request flyovers, for students, but, maybe down the road if I get a little airplane parade above my house. What other programs are kind of stick out with Ames? And then I have some questions about community college, too, right after
some
of the bigger programs that you have that are more of a draw more regionally and nationally.
Absolutely. So each of our campuses has its own what we label as personality and focus. Our programs over at the Windsor campus are well-renowned nationally. The automotive program over there participates in national skills-based training competitions each year, and we have number one winners often from our programs. So that places Ames Automotive Program on the map right away. The Public Safety Institute that's out there at Windsor as well is highly sought after program for all of the public safety frontline workers. So that would include your firefighters, your EMTs, EMS, paramedics, everything in that line of work. And that's coming from our Windsor campus. You can reach out to any of our campuses and you will see different highly profiled programs. Down in Fort Lupton, where we have a very strong agriculture community, our ag program is very well renowned, and we have a phenomenal director of that program.
I'm a little upset I didn't grow up in Greeley and have access to Ames Community College and all the incredible programs that are here. But, again, my path is my path, and I am where I am. So I'm just glad I get to be involved now and meet awesome people like you, Kelly, and be a cheerleader for that partnership and all the great things Ames is doing. Now, I did watch a show during quarantine that I hadn't seen before. It was Community, have you ever seen that, Kelly?
No, I haven't. I'll be curious about it.
I don't know. I'm still toying around whether I enjoyed the show or not. It's a comedy. They couldn't keep characters. It was kind of but it was based on community college class and, a friend group, a study group that I think it was biology or Spanish that they were studying for, and then you follow them throughout 4 years of their community college years. And I think it's wildly inaccurate to a community college and that, what that experience is like. But based on your time on campus and seeing the masses of students there, what's the age range there? What kind of diversity in programming and classes are offered?
So we have over 200 different degree programs and certificate programs, which draws in a wide variety of demographics. Surprisingly, because we are a community college, we have a high percentage of non-traditional students. And what does that really mean? It doesn't mean you're of the highly advanced age. It just means you have returned back to college, not directly graduating from high school. Our profile is primarily white. with our Hispanic and Latino population coming in a very close second. We do have a very strong focus to those who have not considered college as an opportunity because of our affordability. And that's where we differ from some of our regional universities. Ames has been very fortunate to be able to maintain the tuition rate steady for 10 years, which is unheard of. Most organizations, educational organizations, are not able to do that. But we, thankfully, to a lot of our community support, are able to do that for our students.
That's incredible. Now, in a time, I mean, my generation probably has, well, it does have an enormous amount of student loan debt from colleges, and I don't know how many are afflicted with that. But do you, with that, how are, good heavens, I can't even think, or Micah's waving at me. We have 2 minutes left in this segment. That's one way Ames is adapting, by keeping tuition consistent. But is this Ames to UNC also to help with that student loan debt? And I don't know if that's impacting students coming into college because they're afraid they're not going to get the jobs that will end up paying the bills when they're done and have all those student loans to start paying off.
Yes, it is one component of helping with the student loan debt. Ames is very fortunate to be able to steer our students away from student loans with the combination of the low tuition that we have at the college and the combination of scholarships available from the college and from the foundation. We highly encourage that the last-ditch effort is to go and secure a student loan. So our goal is to have students exiting Ames into their futures with little to no debt at all.
You hear that, students? Little to no debt as you head into your careers. Oh, that's so awesome. And if you have an aviation degree or your automotive degree, I mean, those are some highly sought after positions now. We're fortunate our producer Micah is an Ames alum, and he's doing what he went to school for.
Yes, I went to Ames 2001 to 2003. I've been working at KFKA since 2004, so I'm using my degree quite well.
Well, see, there you go, Micah. You are a testament to the quality of our alumni that are within our community.
Or the low standards of the people that hire around here.
No.
No, I would, see,
I'm
I would say go the
former.
Other direction.
Micah is
no,
producer.
Our community knows quality.
It does.
I would agree.
Oh, now he's getting that ego. His head's expanding there a bit.
Oh, yes, it is. Soon I'm going to have the ego of a talk show host. Now I'm going to want my own talk show.
Now, Micah.
So funny. So, Micah, I'm curious, Micah, if you spent time on the radio at Ames.
I did. I'm going to be honest. I was not very good. That's why I spent most of the time playing music and as little time as possible talking. But the great thing about Ames was when I was there, I actually, by the time I was through the radio program, I realized that the part of radio I wanted to do was not so much the talking, it was the production side of it. So I went to Ames and found out that I basically realized what I truly loved. So instead of, you know, if I had gone to a different school, I might not have learned that. I might have gone into radio and realized that it wasn't for me. But instead, I went to Ames, and I was able to really find out what part of radio was right for me.
Oh, good for you. See, that's a great testament to the ability to investigate where your interests are. And because Ames is such an affordable college, you didn't have to do that and acquire $50,000 in debt.
Zero debt whatsoever. I like to
there you go.
Tell everybody who goes to big universities, I tell them that. And like, oh, yeah, hey, I had zero debt, by the way, guys.
Micah Kilpatrick, living the dream from Ames. We'll come back with more from Kelly Jackson in just a few moments and learn more about the Ames Community College Foundation and end-of-year giving. So stay tuned for more Nick Snacks.
You're taking shots at me like it's Patron, and I'm just like, damn, it's 7 a.m.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
back to Nick's Snacks. Nick's Snacks is sponsored by 477 Distilling, located in downtown Greeley. Dangerously delicious cocktails and incredible spirits available, and great for gifts this holiday season. So visit 477distilling.com for all of your distilling needs this holiday season. I'm joined with Kelly Jackson, the executive director of Ames Community College Foundation. And the foundation, as Kelly said, they raise money for their students and for programs. And to continue doing what Ames has done for over 50 years, and that is giving folks like Micah a great job and a great college experience to figure out what their true paths are. But Kelly, thank you so much for being on. It's a big, busy time of year. We've got the holidays. We've got every nonprofit under the sun asking for year-end donations. We just wrapped up Colorado Gives Day and Giving Tuesday. And what's next? Tell us more about how donors' dollars in this end of the year for Ames Community Foundation can Ames Community College Foundation can kind of go the extra mile and keep things going along the track. I'm trying to use as many puns as possible for what all the programs Ames has, and I'm just failing. Usually I'm a little punnier than this, but not today.
Peter Piper? Ames Community College Foundation is here to support our students so that they can keep their dream alive of achieving their education and making a difference in our community. And part of what the foundation's goal is, as well as our why, it's what really touches our hearts, is to see our students excel, and that success that comes out of the support that we provide to them. We really strive to have them exit Ames, as I stated earlier, with little to no debt at all. And many of them, as Micah did, can brag that they had no school debt when they finally launched their careers. And so that steps up their success level that much more. Giving Tuesday and Colorado Gives Day are always a success for us. We appreciate and thank you, all of the donors who have supported our students and our programs. Year-end push is always in the works as well, because we do look at those who are looking for that last chance to make that holiday spirit even brighter and to keep our students' dreams alive. We always look for those who are interested in investing in our future and investing in our community, because when you look at Ames students, and Mike is a great example, they might be your next employee, and they exit Ames programs with skills and abilities beyond what you would see at other institutions around the area.
Now, Kelly, is the foundation, it seems a little unique. I've attended two universities, and I never felt that it was a foundation that was working so hard to give students the financial means that they need to achieve their degree. So why is Ames so different? And I mean that in a good way.
Well, our community has supported Ames from the very beginning. And through the community's generosity, that places Ames in a very well position to be able to support our students financially and keep our tuition is very low. The foundation then is set into a different position than what you would see with most nonprofits and most foundations, because our focus is not on having to raise money to build the physical plant for the college. It's there to build the physical plant of the student. And so we really are in a unique position where all of my work and all of the board's work focuses directly on those who enroll for their education at Ames. And so that in itself places us at an advantage and our students at an advantage.
Do the students, what's the turnaround rate there? Are they starting and completing, since they're seeing how hard the foundation's working and how beneficial that Ames is? Are they, I guess, what's the rate of completion for their degree programs compared to other universities?
So Ames, the completion rate at Ames is higher than what you would see in most regional institutions. I believe that it's close to 89 or 90%, which is higher than what you would see in your other institutions. A lot of that is because of the family feel that we provide. Our students come looking for a smaller class. They look for more personalization. And when they exit, when you ask them why did they enjoy Ames, it's not just because of the academic ability to investigate where their interests are, but it's also because they had that personalization and that family feel along the way.
And this big things being built out there. Can you tell us about some of those projects happening?
Oh, absolutely. So we are very fortunate to be building out a welcome center that you have seen over the last month. The steel structures have gone up. It's at the front of the Greeley campus, right there on 20th and 47th. That structure is currently projected to be completed later in 21, with an opening possibly in December and then a grand opening in the spring. That Welcome Center is going to be a one-stop shop for our students. They're going to be able to in-process all the way through out-processing all in one location. So there will not be any more chasing around the campus for which building to go to. They will be able to do it all in one location. We will also have a phenomenal auditorium and the ability to host graduations on campus.
Great. Oh, that's so exciting. There's so many cool things happening over at Ames. So glad to have you at the helm of the foundation, Kelly. Just real quick, before we sign off, what's one thing you're most looking forward to this holiday season?
The chance to make a difference. This is a year that we need to embrace gratitude, and I'm really looking to be able to make a difference in someone else's life.
Oh, that's so nice. Imagine if everyone thought that way. We'd be such a happy population. But Kelly, that's why we have people like you running nonprofits and serving our community. Thanks so much. Stay tuned for more Nick Snacks. We're going to get into discussions about The Mandalorian. We'll be right back.
Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to Nick's Knacks here in the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Here on 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's Voice, I am joined with Scott Magerflesh as we discuss the tragedy. That was very ominous. Great music.
It was.
A little good voice inflection there.
What music is it from?
The Mandalorian. We were just discussing off air, and I would love to cover this more of a musical segment down the road when the season's over and we have some time to dissect even further with some things I enjoy about the music and some things I would recommend and maybe be a consultant for down the road someday, maybe not.
Would you do it for free?
Yes, I would. For Lucasfilm and Disney, yes.
I would do it for money.
Yeah, I probably should hold myself to higher standards with what I know and my professionalism. So we had another just gangbuster episode.
Yep.
Just aptly named the tragedy. Maybe not. I mean, it was a.
I mean,
I don't know what the tragedy is.
What
I
mean, what is a tragedy? For crying out loud!
I know what the tragedy is, but
blow up the Razor Crest.
That's what I was going to say. I think they were trying to insinuate that the tragedy was Grogu being taken by Gideon, but that the real tragedy is the Razor Crest.
Razor Crest is gone.
That thing's been through.
Yeah.
Everything. I mean, it was falling apart, battered and taken apart by Jawas and being destroyed by those giant spiders. And then for it to be nice and pretty and shiny again, just to go away like that. That was kind of heartbreaking.
It's like losing a character of the show.
Yeah.
It really is.
I don't know what they're going to do, what he's going to do.
Well, I think they're setting it up that he's going to team up with Fennec and Boba. And, you know, they've already said that they're going to help out and they're going to allow him to – they're going to finish their part of the deal, which was to keep him and the child safe. So
now this episode didn't have much. It was more action than things we've learned. Of course, Fennec is alive. So yep. If we go back to season one, we see the boots walking up to the dead mm-hmm. Fennec. And now we know that was Boba Fett, where fans were hinting –
yeah.
Even last year, that could have been Boba Fett, and now we know. And you know, he saved her life. She's indebted to him. They have a little square off on Tython as the child's up on the Seeing Stone. Nice conversation, but Mando just will not let the armor go. He is so dedicated mm-hmm. to the code.
Yeah,
and it's something that I think I texted you
yeah.
The other day. I'm a little irritated by it right now. It's a You have a guy who comes who's going to, you know, kill you, who's got a gun trained mm-hmm. on Grogu, and you're still arguing about armor that you picked up from the desert?
But, you know, this is the way. You want to go back to where we were set up. I mean, he was a foundling, started off as a young child, and he was raised in this culture, in this environment. And we don't need to get all, you know, into the depths from a religious standpoint. But if you think about it, I mean, he was brought up to say, this is how we live our lives and this is how we exist. And that was just a part of how they all existed. So how do you automatically flip that switch? I mean, he, you know, was completely tested a couple episodes ago when they pulled their helmets off and he freaked out. And so it's like, okay, now we're dealing with people without their helmets on. They can't be Mandalorians. And now we've got the armor. It's got to go back to a Mandalorian. Can you prove you were a Mandalorian? And so I think it's just more of that. It's a lot to go through in a short period of time for somebody who's just kind of had the veil pulled back a little bit and said, okay, there's more to your creed, because it is a creed. Mm-hmm. It's not a race, mm-hmm. than what you thought. And so he's having to take that in, and, you know, instead of being spoon-fed, he's been force-fed, and he's having a hard time with it.
Yeah, he's stubborn, and I appreciate that. Yeah. He is where he is because he's stubborn and believes this is the way in the creed. But I hope he gets over it soon. I hope he's a little more forgiving moving forward. I don't think we're going to come across very many Mandalorians. Well, a major Mandalorians, you know, like a Bo-Katan yeah. and a Boba Fett. You know, I think this will kind of be it. Anything he comes across now probably should go back to the Mandalorians if he comes across yeah. any Beskar armor, or finish his armor mm-hmm. up too, because he's still missing, I think, a leg.
Yeah, I think so. There's a couple pieces he could still work on.
But at the beginning of the episode, we get the most interaction between him and Grogu.
Yeah.
And that was just precious, mm-hmm. Kind of leading up to.
And again, he cursed on screen.
Yeah.
Dank Ferrick.
That was.
I just cursed on the radio.
Oh, we got censored.
Oh, boy.
FCC's coming after us. That little standoff with Boba and Fennec, and then, of course, the two shuttles of stormtroopers that just don't stand a chance.
No.
They put up a good fight.
Yeah. And we saw a new character again. I love the fact that they've got the yellow, you know, the mortar trooper. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that armor is going to come out very soon, and maybe we'll see an action figure in 2021 with the mortar trooper. So that was kind of cool.
And again, the Razor, we lost the Razor Crest. I did not see Slave One making that appearance, though.
No, I thought I did not either.
I was expecting the Empire, which mm-hmm. happened yeah. 10 minutes later, but did not expect Slave One to be rolling. Like, oh my gosh, that's Slave yeah. One. Boba's coming with a vengeance. But we get a very different Boba Fett,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not upset by it. When Boba Fett came out, I think the first time you hear his name is in Return of the Jedi, where Han is saying, Boba Fett, where? Mm-hmm. Other than that, you know, he's just a bounty hunter and he might be a bad guy because Darth Vader looked him right in the helmet and said, no disintegrations. Mm-hmm. Like, boy, this guy must be mean. Oh, and then yeah. he caught Han at Cloud City. Huh. And then, you know, Sarlacc, and then we don't know yet what happened in between, but we know that Boba mm-hmm. is alive. Boba, as a child, saw Jango's head cut off by Mace Windu. In the arena,
yeah,
in an Attack of the Clones, and in the Clone Wars, he was not a very good teenager.
No.
He was rotten.
He
not
was.
A good person.
Yeah,
and then we see him, and all he wants is the armor. Even though if he took the child, the asset could buy enough Beskar armor 10 times over, mm-hmm. or whatever he said, he held true to he just wants his armor back. And I don't know what he wants to do after that, get back to bounty hunting or what he and Fennec are going to do. But after the Battle of the Imperials, after the Dark Troopers have a very unexciting introduction
I know.
To the series, kind of fly in like Iron Man, whoa! Take the child and fly
yeah.
out. Of course, Grogu left that force shield type of thing, you know, the minute Mando walks away. But it makes for a good story. But Boba offers to help. He vowed to protect the child mm-hmm. in exchange for the armor. And not quite like that. I just thought they would let him go and be fine. But to Boba, that is, we're going to help you get him back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unusual to me. That's not the Boba Fett that I thought growing up. The malicious bounty hunter, has 30 years in the desert or 6 years in the desert changed
him? You know, I don't know. Well, the other thing is you think about the armor, because you were talking about that. That's the only thing he wants. I mean, that was his last tie to his father, you know, because it was his father's armor. And he talked about that. And so you've got that whole element where we could go into, of what happened between, you know, the end of Attack of the Clones and now you get into Empire where, you know, those are the things. And of course, we've got the stuff that you alluded to, but it's like, you know, there's a tie-in there. And again, whatever he went through in the desert. And I'm still a little worried about, okay, so he's got Slave One. You know, he's an amazing bounty hunter. How is it that he didn't just walk into Mos Pelgo and just completely take out Cobb Vanth mm-hmm. on his own? It was sort of like, that seems a little bit odd to me because he knew where it came from. So he knew Cobb Vanth had it. And, you know, maybe they'll let us know that he only figured that out after something. But I just felt like that was a little bit off. I mean, for
you have better chances of going against yeah. Cobb Vanth than you do a Mandalorian.
Another Mandalorian, right. And you've been, you know, so again, I don't know. Did the Sarlacc just spit him out a couple months ago or what? There's so much to that that I don't know that doesn't quite fit without more context. So I'm curious to see how that's going to play out because I was like, wait, you knew where it was?
And there's not anything they've done yet where they've introduced a teaser. You know, we yeah. go back to the Fennec and mm-hmm. the boots coming on camera that they haven't explained.
Right.
Maybe it took a season for them to explain it, but yeah. I think we will get answers. But we have a lot more to discuss in just a few moments with the tragedy of The Mandalorian. Yeah. Stay tuned.
No Code Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to Nick Snacks, 1310 KFKA. I am your host, Nick Kenny, and we are talking The Mandalorian. But first, shout out to our sponsor, 477 Distilling in downtown Greeley. But here we are with Mandalorian and trying to figure out where we left off because we had a lot of conversations in between.
We did. Well, but let's jump into it. You started to say something.
I did. Well, just to finish up where they're left off. So Boba Fennec and Mando went out to Navarro again, talked to their trusty old Marshal Cara Dune, and we know that was a badge. For the Marshal, not an award for, you know, something maybe Alderaan or whatever. That was an awkward little interaction they had. And Mando's asking for help identifying prisoner. Mm-hmm. And that was Bill Burr's character in the Jailbreak episode from season one. And he was a great character, you know. What's his I don't think we can say it on air, but love what he says. About it. I wasn't a stormtrooper.
Wise.
Yes. Yeah. And Kara's like, well, I can't break the code. You know, I'm a marshal now. I gotta stand true, but the child's gone and something switches. So will she help or will she not? Will she stop being a marshal because she's going to help Mando get Grogu back? And she'll feel that she doesn't deserve to be a marshal. I think that'll be an interesting story arc. I see somebody else who might be interesting, and maybe he would be too young at this point, but who was the guy in episode 8 that they have to go to Canto Bite?
Oh, are you talking about
the Codebreaker?
The Codebreaker. DJ.
Yes.
Yes, the Codebreaker that was in the jail cell with them. That would be interesting.
That could be a weird tie in there.
Could be.
Because of Bill Burr's character, I don't know any other code breakers, but I'm sure the galaxy's full of them, especially with how many Imperial defectors there might be. Mm-hmm. That was my random thought of would DJ make an appearance as a code breaker if Bill Burr maybe refers Mando to him or if they have to come in together.
Now, I see us having Cobb Vanth come back in.
But why?
I don't know. For
I hope so, because he was a great character.
Because they said that at the end of the episode, says, you know, I hope our paths cross again. And he said, so do I. And so I really think that they're going to kind of, if they're going to go up against Moff Gideon, you kind of got to bring all guns to bear. And so I really think, you know, he's going to get Kara. You know, he's going to have Boba. He's got Fennec. He's going to go try and get, and I'm blanking on Bill Burr's character name, but
He's got Bo-Katan, too.
She's got the potential there.
She's after,
and she wants the Darksaber, so maybe they can.
And they're in the same place right now. So yeah. They might accidentally converge at the same time.
You could bring Ahsoka back into this. I mean, I think it could literally be one of those. I almost see it as you could end the season with one of those Avengers-style moments where they all come together to take on the Empire and Moff Gideon, and some of them wouldn't survive.
I'd love to see that, but I don't think they can build that up in two episodes, because you'd want a pretty epic Empire. I mean, a force to be reckoned with. Right now, he has a light cruiser.
Well, but there's also Thrawn. So, I mean, we've talked about that, and it was very funny because I know Tim's on at a very cursory level, but know enough that I've had conversations with him and talked to him. And so after that episode, I reached out to him and thought that was the coolest thing ever because that was his character. And he's not involved at this point. You know, he said, you know, nobody had asked me. I'm not involved. He thinks it's great. But then he dropped this one little tidbit on his Facebook page, and he said, no good writer ever drops that type of a line and doesn't use it. And so I've got to go with that and go, we are going to see Thrawn. Now, if he waits until season 3 to do it, that'll be a bummer. But I just, man.
I could see this season ending. I think it will end with, hopefully, a nice hand-to-hand combat with Din Djarin and Moff Gideon. Because he's got that Beskar spear, and that can go up against the Darksaber.
Yep, it could.
And my brother thinks that the smokescreen of Moff Gideon saying, yes, I'll be more involved in season 3, the Dark Troopers will be more involved in season 3, might just be a smokescreen. And what if he dies this season? And then next year you have Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Yeah, I think they've got too much story to tell. And why would you get rid of your best bad guy? I mean, because you got Thrawn waiting in the wings. But why not have that continue? I think one of the challenges I had with the prequels was that Maul died too early. And now we know he didn't die and everything else. But it was like, you've got this amazing villain and you just threw him away. And so I think that we can put some faith in Filoni and Favreau that they're not just going to let him go out like a punk, you know?
That'd be a great shirt creation. Favreau, Filoni, faith.
There you go.
The three Fs of The Mandalorian right now. Oh. You're right. There is a lot of story to tell, and I hope they don't rush it. And I just finished Game of Thrones, and I will be discussing that at length in a future episode. But they rushed the last few seasons. I know that's why fans were so frustrated, because the story just took off. And I hope any good writer, even start to end of a season, always assume it's going to be your last episode. You know, you never know when you're going to get renewed. We do know there's going to be a season 3, but I hope they have an end game. My brother thinks, my older brother, he's been a guest on the show a few times, thinks that the child was not meant to be in the show for very long, but with the attraction and energy that brought in from new fans and old fans alike, that they kind of had to keep writing for the child. I don't think that's the case. I think they had Grogu as a part of it for the long haul. Yeah.
I could see him transitioning out of being in episodes, and I think that would be something that people would probably be a little bit worked up about, because it's kind of like he's been in every episode. You know, we've gone several episodes without, you know, Cara Dune and Greef Karga and some of the other folks. And so, but he's been the constant other than Mando. It's been those two. And so I could see us transitioning away from him being in every episode at some point in time. And then you keep bringing him back in from a teaser perspective to see what they're trying to accomplish on the Empire side of it. And then it's just this constant battle to try and get him back. And it shouldn't be easy.
I think I'd love for Moff Gideon to be more involved. I don't think he's the villain to play out this entire series, kind of like Thrawn was in Rebels. And again, we go back to what we've talked about before. Thrawn's back, which means where is Ezra? Is that what Ahsoka wants right now? Ahsoka didn't really have a beef with Thrawn. I mean, sure she did, but her beef was with Vader and kind of being the last of the Jedi. Well, Ezra was not really a Jedi either, kind of like Ahsoka's not really a Jedi. But at this point, they're good guys who can wield the Force and lightsabers. So I think she's on the hunt with Ezra, but he might play a part with Grogu. What did he learn out in wherever they were, the unknown regions? And they were probably beyond the unknown regions for all we know. Is there a bigger threat out there? I mean, this is so much direction that the story could go.
Well, and we still have no idea who, if any, he reached. And so we talked about, you know, who are the ones that we know about that's out there. And for me, I think it would be awesome if we actually get introduced to a new Jedi character.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pull somebody in that nobody's ever heard of before that we can actually bring into the story to help develop where this has got to go, and so that we don't keep going back to the well. And I think that's my one challenge with Fett coming back into the series was that we're going back into that, and we've done that multiple times this year or in this season. You know, we've brought back Fett, we brought back Catan, and we brought back, you know, Ahsoka, which I'm happy with, but it's like there's this vast galaxy far, far away that we're just scratching the surface on, and we keep going back to the same, you know, pivotal characters in those areas from an individual in Din Djarin that had no connection to any of them prior to this. And so I'm good with us getting into newer characters that we haven't heard of before that have a whole backstory that we can explore and become aware of, and that we don't start in with preconceived notions of, well, that's who this person should be. Let's start fresh and see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. I do hope that Boba's done after this job, that they can have a nice parting of ways, and Boba and yeah. Fennec can go live their lives bounty hunting or doing whatever. He doesn't mm-hmm. seem like a guy like Mando who wants to get the Order back,
right.
to get Mandalore back, to get the Darksaber back. That's just not Boba Fett. And I mean, he's a foundling's kid.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean in Mandalorian culture? I mean, well, I guess he inherits the armor, but that's about it. And that'd be nice to kind of tie up that loose end and be done with it at the end of the series.
Well, and he says he's just a simple man trying to make his way through the galaxy, which is that callback to what his dad said in episode 2. So
mm-hmm.
love it.
There's so much. We have just a few moments left. Any predictions for this next episode?
I have no clue. I have no idea where we're going to go. I don't know. I'm just hoping that we get into 45, 50-minute episodes for these last two because, oh, my gosh, you know.
A lot of story to cover.
A lot of it.
Well, hope you enjoyed today's show. Stay tuned for more Nick Snacks. We'll be back next week to uncover the penultimate episode of The Mandalorian this season. Thanks for listening, and that's our cutoff.